We have the musical chair on Sunday morning. Busy people sitting down, choosing a couple of pieces of music, talking to us about their lives on the move. Simon O'Neill is our great New Zealand tenor of the moment, a member of the New Zealand Order of Merit, born in Ashburton, and then an honours degree in music before the scholarship to the Manhattan School of Music, which set him upon an illustrious path, frequent performances with the Metropolitan Opera at the Royal Opera House in Covent Garden, Berlin, Salzburg, Edinburgh, the BBC Proms. When he debuted in the title role of Verdi's Othello with the London Symphony Orchestra, the Review and the Telegraph declared him the best heroic tenor to emerge over the last decade. And it's been a decade since then, and he's gone from strength to strength. Here's Simon from Wagner's Die Walküre. Simon O'Neill, good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
Lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you too, sir.
We've just played the Valkyrie. Now, you brandish a sword in that scene. It's very dramatic, what we've just heard.
It is dramatic. You're only in there for the first hour in Valkyrie. It's the second opera of the Ring cycle. So this is the great end of the act, where he finally pulls the sword out of the tree and he has the sword to destroy all swords, Lord of the Rings again. And, of course, he gets the girl and they run off. So it's a great, triumphal, very romantic ending to the act. I love singing it.
Do you?
Yeah, I love it. It's great. I think the recording you just heard was live at New York with New York Phil, and that was fantastic.
I bet it was. I won't go through the entire list of your accomplishments today. It just fills other singers with envy. But when we contacted you to set this chat up, you were absolutely flat out. It was Germany one day, the United States the next, whizzing back to New Zealand to sing with Roger Fox, then off again. Life for you seems to be as tumultuous as an opera. It's busy.
It is busy, Jim. I've dreamed of this. You know, I've grown up in Ashburton, and I never thought that my start of the year would be I've been up and down to Europe and America, I don't know, six times already or seven times this year. And, you know, little things like being in Los Angeles with L.A. Phil and, you know, Gustavo Dudamel conducting. We were doing a big recording for a Deutsche Grammophon. Then I rushed that night to Berlin. And then I rushed straight back here and I'm in rehearsal with Roger Fox and the big band in Wellington. And we do a great concert at the Wellington Jazz Festival. And that was all within 5 days. So that was, I love that. I love the adrenaline of that.
Do you? And you don't mind the hotel rooms and the taxi rides and the plane trips?
You know, when it comes to planes, I love planes. I've always had a real interest in them. And even when I go to an airport, for a domestic flight down to Wellington or Christchurch, I get excited. I love those planes, hopping on the little Airbus. But then hopping on the big planes, I love it too. You know, the one thing is being an opera singer, you have to look after yourself, look after your voice. And that's hard on planes because...
Yeah, germs on planes.
Yeah, if you're going to get sick, you'll probably get sick. So that's the big thing that I have to always look after myself.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a high-octane, big money, high-pressure business. You wouldn't want to be the man who, you know, had 10 understudies a year. You know what I mean? I guess the pressure is on you to perform.
That is true. There are a lot of tenors out there who are known for cancelling, famous ones. Even back in the old days, you know, Franco Corelli in the 1960s and 70s, he was famous for cancelling.
Oh,
of course, when he actually performed, it was extraordinary.
A rare event.
but the stories, with Corelli, his understudy, for example, one of his understudies was Placido Domingo. So, of course, Corelli cancels. Who has the chance to go on? Placido Domingo. And who becomes Placido Domingo? Placido Domingo becomes Placido Domingo. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that
I
was
do.
Pretty cool.
And you actually studied under Placido Domingo at
I was
stage.
I was his understudy in 2004 and 5 and 6 and 7 at the Metropolitan Opera in New York. I mean, that was my big break. People asked me what my big break was. you know, becoming Plácido Domingo's understudy, and I followed him all around the world singing these great operas. It put me into a higher echelon quite quickly.
Before we get to what you're doing in New Zealand with your tour, do you get time for yourself? You're so busy. What steps do you put in place to carve out Simon time and family time and such?
Yeah, that's a work in progress. My career is such that I dreamed of this career, Jim, and I'm away sometimes 8 or 9 months a year. Next year I'm away 231 days without returning to our country. Can you believe that?
That's a lot.
So, of course, my three darling kids have netball and football and basketball and swimming and tennis, all the things. I want to be there for that, but I'm most often not. So you ask me what the Simon time is when I'm back. It is completely devoted to my children and my wife, Carmel, so I can be at those matches.
In Ashburton, I think, you begin this New Zealand tour with baritone Ian Paterson. So it begins in Ashburton and then you head north, yeah?
Yeah, my hometown, Ashburton. I love that. Love the town very much. And then the next, that's on the 4th of July, I mean, Independence Day. So, you know, anyone wants to wear an American flag or whatever, go at it. And then we go to Christchurch to a beautiful new concert hall, the Piano, there in the centre of the city. I love that hall. So it'll be our first time singing there. And then up here to Auckland to the established great town hall concert chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And then another new hall in Hamilton on the 10th of July, and that's the Gallagher Concert Hall, another beautiful new hall. I love these. And then to the famous Whanganui Royal Opera House, which I love returning to that city. I love Whanganui very much. So, and that's going to be on the 12th. And then we finish in Wellington at St. Andrews, another established great concert hall on the terrace. And that's on the 14th in the afternoon, Sunday afternoon. So the little tour is great. It is an excuse to bring my great friend Ian Paterson, the Scotsman, down to New Zealand in the start of rugby time so he can, you know, be amongst it. He's a great rugby supporter as well. So
you can see real rugby played.
Yeah.
What sort of material on this tour from you and Ian then?
We have purposely chosen not to sing so much of the Wagner because our career started off in Italian repertoire. So we're doing Madama Butterfly, Tosca, Turandot, Don Carlos, The Pearl Fishers, all of these great Italian famous pieces. We all sing a little bit of Das Rheingold in there because it's gorgeous and it needs to be in a performance. And then, of course, a lot of the performance will be Rodgers and Hammerstein and all my favourite Mario Lanza songs and then songs of Scotland and Ireland as well because that's both of our heritages.
Okay, so for people afraid of Wagner, it'll be a lovely night out hearing all sorts of standards.
Certainly, Jim. It will not be us there yelling in German at you for 17 hours. But there'll be that little snippet, which hopefully will change your minds on Wagner, because he's a beautiful music he's written.
So first up, from the Pearl Fishers, in the depths of the temple, you and Ian are doing this one.
We're definitely doing this one.
It's maybe the most beloved tenor-baritone duet, this one, of all?
It's a great duet, you know, the Pearl Fishers duet. This actual recording is Jussi Björling, one of my most favourite tenors of all time, Swedish, along with Robert Merrill. And the story goes that Jussi Björling had a bit much gin before they recorded this, and this is a rumour or a story, I guess, that and Robert Merrill had to walk him around a few blocks in New York City to sober him up.
Good story.
You listen to the actual singing of this, it's absolutely perfect.
Here it is, Jussi Björling and Robert Merrill, the famous version.
Thank you.
that was a good story you told about Merrill and Bewling. I looked him up, and he kept singing. He died while watching his favourite baseball team, I think, at the age of 89 or something. But he kept singing right up. What are your own ambitions? You can keep going for a long time yet, a long, long time, can't you?
Yeah, opera singing's a lot like golf or tennis. You'll get into the Masters and, you know, at the moment I'm just on the PGA circuit going around the world playing my golf, I guess. And you meet, of course, all your same friends in the various cities you turn up to at that sort of higher level, I guess. Yeah, I want to do this for as long as I can. I'm 47 now. I have a great love of teaching. When I'm home here in New Zealand, I do a lot of masterclasses and teaching and mentorship of young, not just singers, but musicians generally.
You've got a solo CD out, Distant Beloved. Now, what's on that?
Well, this is a CD. I copied my favourite CD of 1965, which is Fritz Wunderlich, the great German tenor. And on one of his CDs, he performs Beethoven and Strauss. I expanded the repertoire a little. We start off with Beethoven on this, An die ferne Geliebte, which means in German, to my distant beloved. Now, I spend 8 or 9 months a year away from my distant beloveds. That's my three kids and my wife. And I wanted to put something in a recording that just was a gesture of, I think of them all the time when I'm overseas. The repertoire on the CD has that distance about it. It has a yearning. It starts off with the Beethoven, I said, and then some Schumann, and then Strauss Lieder, Richard Strauss, which is just beautiful stuff. And it finishes off with Wagner's Wiesendonk Lieder. We're really proud of the CD, so we'll be singing some of the CD on the concert tour as well.
Technically, when does the male voice peak, or is that an individual thing?
It is all individual, but generally this sort of time. In your late 40s, early 50s is when the voice, our voices as men don't even really stop growing until our late 20s. And then you go through a sort of a working out time, and then it depends on what repertoire, of course, as well. Of course, with this big repertoire in my 50s, will hopefully be a good decade of me singing around the world. If I, you know, just keep on being healthy and make the planes and not miss any flights, I will have a good career, I hope. Yeah.
There's something else very unusual about you. I can't think of anyone else in their professional career who has been allowed to take their professor from university along to help them out along the way, and that's what you've done with Terence Dennis.
Yeah. Well, when I first went to University of Otago back in 1990, he was the first professor I met, and I remember I walked into his office, and on the coffee table was the Corriere della Sera. It was the paper from Milano. It was also the Frankfurt Allgemeine, the Frankfurt newspaper. Sure. So this is a newspaper in German and another one in Italian, and this man actually reads them. So back then they would have been post to him. On the wall, signed photos of Franco Corelli, and it was a huge, I just went in there and said, I just want to be like that. Mm. I loved it so much. So Terence and I have been friends now for 30 years.
Gee.
And to do the CD together, and we tour the country, we were in Dallas a couple of months ago singing. We're going to Mumbai, India. I love India. I love the culture and I love the country. But also I'm a mentor for the Indian Symphony Orchestra. Ah. So we're going to do some big concerts there and a recital as well. And I'm bringing my lovely friend Amanda Atlas from Christchurch to come up, sing duets with me up there as well.
Brilliant.
So yeah, we hang out quite a bit. And Terence, of course, he's been at so many of my debuts and premieres, Bayreuth, the Metropolitan Opera. So he's been a great support to me too.
I've got quick questions for you.
Okay.
Favourite all-time soprano?
It's a hard one, but I can only... You can YouTube it on the internet. Dame Curie singing Handel's Care Selve. It's a Handel opera, and it's early 80s, so Dame Curie looks absolutely radiant with big 1980s hair. But the way she sings that aria, it is just perfection. So Dame Curie... when it comes to sopranos.
All right. Favourite all-time opera?
I have to say, Jim, you know, the opera that I'm in at the time, I fall in love
with. Yes, I can imagine that. If you had to take one to a desert island.
Okay. I would probably have to say Parsifal or Valkyrie, one of those Wagner ones. But if it was Italian, I'd have to say Verdi's Otello. I love Verdi's Otello.
Yep.
But Parsifal, at least, is a long one. So I get a lot of listening on that desert island. If, you know, it's a good 5.5 hours.
Favourite concert hall to sing in?
Golly, I mean, this year I've been in some of the great concert halls of the world, the Disney Hall in Los Angeles, just last month, turning up at the Royal Albert Hall for the BBC Proms. Yeah. You know, you have 6,000 or 7,000 people in the audience, and you're on stage there with, you know, Sir Simon Rattle conducting, and you're singing with the London Symphony Orchestra. That is something. When you hear that eruption of the British fans, particularly at the Proms, because they love it that much.
Speaking of that, favourite audiences, you know, where they're most enthusiastic, most knowledgeable?
Well, Berlin is a city that I absolutely love. If I could choose one city in the world that I could live in other than, say, here in New Zealand, in Auckland, I would probably choose Berlin now. Okay. Well, I've lived in London and I've lived in New York, but Berlin is a great city. And the audience, I mean, they have 3 opera houses, they have 4 or 5 major symphony orchestras, they're very, very cultured. Every time you do a performance there, it's completely sold out, and people love it. Of course, the other side of that coin, Jim, is they demand a very high level, and if you do fudge the German, you'll quickly find out about it.
Would they boo you? Would they ever, or would they just mutter to themselves?
They do boo. They haven't, thankfully, booed me yet, one would say, in parentheses.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah, something to look forward to. I mean, getting booed on stage is an awful thing, tell the truth. I was once in Bayreuth when a woman was booed and she was in tears and it just destroyed her. I find people who boo for the sport of it quite low, tell the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't really know. I mean, we've given our all out there as opera singers, and it is like sport. Sometimes you have an off night. It is live music. We don't have any microphones, we don't have any tone control to get us in tune or something like that, and if you crack a note, well, that it happens. I mean, thankfully it doesn't happen that often.
Let's say you've just arrived in New York for a season at the Met. What is your routine from the time you get out of the cab at the airport to the time you flop down at the end of the season and have a glass of wine and say it's all over?
That's a great question. I mean, singing at the Met is just the pinnacle of many opera singers. And, you know, flying into JFK, if it's a nice night, you see the skyline of New York there. It's just incredible. At the Met, it's a massive, massive business. It costs over $1 million a day to run the...
It doesn't.
Run that, yes.
Really?
It's extraordinary. I mean, they've got, you know, hundreds of people working there. And, of course, when I turn up there, I'm often singing one of the lead parts, I guess, or the lead tenor part. So you're treated very, very well. In New York, you know, I was there as a student, Jim. So you asked me what my routine is. I often go back to... I'm sure we all do this when we go back to where we were students. You go back to your old haunts, you know what I mean? I like to go back to the old restaurant or bar that I would go as a student. And some of them are still there. Of course, the rehearsal period at the Met is demanding. And then when you're actually on stage now at the Met, everything is filmed these days for HD broadcasts in cinemas and, of course, massive radio transmissions, because the pressure is way more than what it was in the past, just on from that aspect. In the past, you would have one performance recorded. Now everything is recorded. Yeah. So
it's non-stop.
It's non-stop.
Be day after day after day of rehearsals, voice training, vocal training, the whole lot.
Yes, and ultimately you have to keep yourself well as well. So you can't be going out on big drinking evenings, because that'll dry out your chords the next day and then you won't be very good. So you just need to be careful.
Last quick question, actually. Dame Kitty used to have a go at songs like John Denver's Calypso and so on. And, you know, serious, in inverted commas, singers do tackle the popular repertoire. What unoperatic male singers do you admire? I mean, did you ever pick up the hairbrush and stand in front of the mirror pretending you were someone? I don't know if you'd...
I love John Denver.
Did you?
I love John Denver.
He had a good range, actually.
He had a great range. I think he sang duet with Domingo as well. The great singers. I mean, you can't go past Freddie Mercury, just as an absolute animal of a voice, of someone who knew his technique. He had an operatic way of singing, even though he sang pop. You know what I mean? The way we've all seen the documentary of the last couple of months that have come out on that man. Mm. He is one of my favourite singers of all time. John Rawls, I think, is a great singer. Just has the real pipes on him.
Yeah, he did have the pipes.
Mm. You know, but I love ones like Frank and Ray Charles. You know, I often say to my students when they're singing classical music, I say, go home and listen to Frank Sinatra. The way Frank Sinatra uses the words, and uses the words over the bar line, that means he manipulates the vocal line. It's malleable into the music, which is sometimes in classical music it can be relatively brick-like. It can be firm. We need a malleability as well. So I love saying that to my students, and because I love listening to him. But Ray Charles is one. But if I have to really choose, give me Freddie any day. I mean, Freddie Mercury, what a voice.
Good. That's a good cue, because we're giving you Freddie right now. You've also chosen the Under Pressure duet with Bowie and Queen. Here it is.
Slashed and torn.
I could ask you about singing and singers all day. Simon O'Neill is with us in the musical chair, but about to vacate that chair. So the tour begins this Thursday night in Ashburton. You'll get a big reception when you walk on that stage.
I hope so. Look, it's my hometown. I know that's nearly sold out, and I'm really looking forward to taking my friend to my hometown and showing him around all the places I like to go to the Ashburton Hotel for a pint, of course, to my favourite place for a mince pie, all those sort of things. But, of course, turning up for the concert is a big deal. My late father always said, hey, Si, come back and sing more in Ashburton. And I always said to Dad, oh, Dad, I'm just too busy, which I was. But I look back on that now, Jim, with real disappointment that I didn't do that. You know, he passed away a few years ago on the Ashburton golf course, not a bad way to go. I just, you know, I'm returning there for him as well. And
that's
all of
great.
His mates that were at the Freezing Works and in his choir that he was in. So I love that, particularly in Ashburton. And then the tour, we're going to drive through the whole country.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
Just show my friend our great country and sing all these concerts.
Oh, I can tell you're happy about it. And a lot of people will be as well when they come and hear you and Ian sing. Well done. Thank you for sparing us the time today, by the way.
Thanks very much, Jim, for having me. I love listening to the show because when you're overseas, you know, with our apps now on our devices, I'll be listening to you live in New York City or in London or Berlin, and I do it all the time. I listen to more Radio New Zealand, tell the truth, when I'm overseas than even when I'm sometimes in the country. It's great.
Bless you, Simon. Spread the word.
Thanks very much, Jim.
Great singers of the world. Listen to Radio New Zealand. That's fantastic. Hey, thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Thanks.
Simon O'Neill.